Hello, everybody. My name is Jack Mosloom, and welcome back to Independent RX Forum. I'm pleased to be joined today by Adam Harbison and Katie Krell, who are the boots on the ground for NCPA on Capitol Hill. They are the federal lobbying team. It's been a pretty interesting time to be on Capitol Hill. There's a lot going on, a lot of weird stuff going on, fist fights, and all kinds of crazy stuff. So, rotating speakers. You guys could tell a lot of stories, I bet. But why don't we focus on, you know, the stuff that our members really care about, which is all of our NCPA priorities. And Adam, I'll start with you. Why don't you talk about what's happening on Capitol Hill with respect to the legislation that you're tracking?
Yep. Thanks, Jack. I'm glad to be here. So since we last joined you, the unprecedented congressional focus on PBM reform has continued and intensified with lots of action taking place over the past few months. Over on the Senate side, really all of the action has been centered in the Senate Finance Committee under the leadership of Chairman Ron Wyden of Oregon and Mike Crapo from Idaho. They have put together two different packages of PBM reform legislation. The first package, which they passed back in July, really focused on Medicaid reform in the PBM space, and it included one of our big NCPA priorities, which would ban spread pricing and Medicaid managed care and move to a system where pharmacies are paid based on the NADAC acquisition cost plus their dispensing fee. So this is a huge win. And since then, they put together the second package that passed just a few weeks ago on a unanimous basis that really digs in on the Medicare issues. Obviously, with Congress, we've been talking about DIR reform and all the problems that PBMs pose for independent pharmacies in the Medicare Part D space. So Congress has really been listening to that for this bill that kind of has a couple of parts to it. First is it includes something called the No PBMs Act. And what that would do is require CMS, Medicare, to define what are reasonable and relevant contract terms that PBMs have to offer to pharmacies. CMS has never done that before, so it could address a number of potential issues, including low reimbursements, patient steering, take it or leave it contracts. So really has the potential to be a game changer.
Adam, who would write that? Who would write those definitions?
Yeah, so it would actually be the policy people over at Medicare, CMS. They would go through what is called an RFI, a request for information process, where they would ask organizations and individuals to submit comments on what are the things that they should address. So obviously, we at NCPA would take a leadership role there, right, to really drive this, and would want our members to help back us up the same way we did with the FTC comments last year.
Right.
So that would be the process. Then they would move through rulemaking, and then CMS would actually establish a new office to oversee and enforce these new definitions. And it even would lay out a process for pharmacies to be able to file complaints against PBMs when they see violations of what should be reasonable and relevant contract terms. So huge win. We're excited about it. The Finance Committee went a step further and creates a new pharmacy designation called essential retail pharmacies. And for this program, it would really be centered on pharmacies that are in medically underserved areas, a lot of rural areas. And these pharmacies would get two benefits. One is the PBMs would have to include these pharmacies in preferred networks, which we've always been shut out of. And secondly, these pharmacies, especially essential independent pharmacies with four stores or less, would receive a NADAC reimbursement floor. So another good thing, there's still some issues that we're trying to get fixed behind the scenes. to make sure as many independent pharmacies as possible can right. benefit for this program.
Yeah, but what would be an essential, how would they define that term?
So they would define it, it's a pharmacy that is not affiliated with a PBM, and they would be located in a medically underserved area. And then to be an essential independent pharmacy, you have to have 4 stores or less. So right. once again, it would be up to the team at CMS and the secretary at HHS to really define that.
Yep.
And so that's really where the finance package stands. They are offsetting the cost of these new programs by creating a new specific NADAC that targets PBM-affiliated mail order and specialty pharmacies, which is great because it also takes care of an issue that we've complained about for a long time, that mail order pharmacies love to talk about how much money they can save, but yet they've right. been reimbursed at the same rate as independent and other retail pharmacies. So now they would be getting a lower reimbursement, which is good. And then over on the House side, you've had similar action taking place in the Energy and Commerce Committee. The Medicaid Managed Care bill passed the Energy and Commerce Committee earlier this summer. It was actually scheduled to be on the floor in September before we had all of the problems with the House Speaker being removed and then them having to elect a new one. So we're hopeful that it could come back to the floor at some point. But then just last week, the House Energy and Commerce Committee started their own process to do more PBM bills. And they marked up or voted on a bill from Buddy Carter, HR 2880, which addresses a lot of Medicare issues as well. And namely, the biggest issue for us is that it would take care of patient steering and Medicare Part D by removing the incentives that the PBMs have to steer patients to their own stores, because this bill says that PBMs would no longer be able to pay themselves more than they pay other pharmacies. So another big win. Now we're just waiting to see when all of these bills come to the floors in the respective chambers and how it might come together in a bigger package in the near future.
Katie, what's your sense of that? Where do you see all of this going and when?
So moving forward is going to be very interesting because as of early October, the House of Representatives voted out Speaker McCarthy. And then on October 25th, they voted in new Speaker Mike Johnson from Louisiana. As of last week, he was able to get across the finish line a laddered continuing resolution to make sure that the government didn't shut down, which means that for the first time in several years, Congress is not going to be trying to push an omnibus end of year package, cramming a bunch of bills together and getting it across the finish line to help with extenders and making sure that we don't shut down. So right now, it gives Congress a little bit more leeway to take a step back, figure out their next steps moving forward. We will be coming back in next January on the 19th is when the first deadline, which covers Veterans Affairs, Department of Ag, Housing and Urban Development, Energy and Water, and Transportation. So that's the first step of the stepped ladder or the ladder approach of like, we're going to fund those first, and then they're going to tackle all of the rest of them. And so, you know, with this, we could see it moving anywhere as early as January 19th. Maybe, you know, they're also talking about $100 billion supplemental that's coming forward, but that seems to be kind of stagnating with the disagreement between Ukraine, Israel, and border funding. And so one of the big things that we could see is in that January 19th deadline, whatever package comes up before that to fund the government, they might be able to use some of our bills because our bills have pay-fors in them, which means we are saving the government money. And so putting in, you know, when Adam was talking about the new NADAC, that's one of the big pay-fors. And there's another with the spread pricing portion. And so being able to save the government money means that they are much more likely to want to put our bills into a big package so that they can use that savings towards another program that is going to cost them money.
Is there support in the Senate, do you think, for the, some of these provisions that the House is going to work on in the next few months? Or is it going to get hung up like it always does between the two houses?
I think the good thing for us is that the committees of jurisdiction in both the House and the Senate have been talking to each other all along. Mm. So they're both aware of what each other is working on. The Senate Finance team and the House Energy and Commerce team have been working closely together on this. A lot of what they have done is actually very similar, if not the same. For example, with the Medicaid managed care spread pricing policy, that's the same in both chambers. They both have some Medicare reforms as well, a bit different policies, but they accomplish the same goals. So I think it's on a good track. The committees will continue working behind the scenes to make sure that it is in a good place, that then they are ready to go whenever a package does come together.
So next year is an election year, as everybody knows, and it's, of course, bound to be highly contentious. Not a lot gets done in Congress during election years. Are you guys anticipating that they're going to try and handle all this stuff like early in the first quarter, probably, and then kind of drift off into their campaigns?
That would be where I would expect it to go, especially with the deadlines that they're doing. It is possible that if they can't come to an agreement on something in the first couple of months, that they push it for a little bit. But by the time that they start hitting next year's deadlines of what, you know, the budget should be coming out in April, technically, for the next funding year, even though we haven't seen that in several years now, we know that they want to try and get back more towards regular order. We saw that in the Senate with them putting out 12 appropriations bills. Granted, they put those appropriations bills out several months late this year, but it shows that they're trying to get back towards more of a regular order. And so I could see them wanting to get this finished, tied up in a nice little bow at the beginning of the year so they can move on to the next steps and then go out and campaign so that they can try and convince everybody that they got some wins across the finish line, right, and they need to be looking to the future.
Yeah, it's in the interest of both parties in both houses to get something done, right? So this, it seems, is a likely opportunity for that, since there's a fairly broad consensus that something has to be done here. Mm-hmm. I want to ask about that. Both of you have a lot of experience on Capitol Hill, and it's rare that we see issues on which both sides are in agreement. Why do you think that is? What do you think is unique about this that brings both parties together?
I think it's something that both sides have talked about prescription drug pricing for a long time, and they see it as a problem. They hear about it from their constituents, so they wanted to do something. Obviously, the Democrats last Congress passed their Inflation Reduction Act, which went after the drug manufacturers. And since then, people have kind of looked at the drug supply chain and realized that the PBMs are also a big problem for increasing drug costs. So there's bipartisan support to go after them and make sure that they're not making patients and seniors pay more than they need to. Luckily, this is something independent pharmacies have been talking about for more than a decade. And so we've built up a lot of goodwill. People respect their independent pharmacies in their community. And members of Congress have heard from our pharmacists on what PBMs do, and how they are just causing problems in the drug supply chain and artificially raising costs for seniors. So this seems to be the perfect opportunity to take advantage of that and really give both parties something to campaign on.
Well, you hinted at this a moment ago, that our members are influential in their own right. Is there anything that they can be doing now or within the next couple of months that might help push this over the goal line? And then secondarily, because next year is an election year, is there anything that they can be doing next year to help bring in, you know, candidates who are friendly to pharmacy, independent pharmacy, and to push our issues up to the front of the list of priorities?
I think that we've done an excellent job of that in the past. And so if you look at the past and how we can apply that in the future, when we had the congressional fly-in this past spring, we had over 800 contacts with members of Congress or their staff. And then this August, we had, you know, dozens of members of Congress come and visit folks in their pharmacies and get to see what it's really like, life on the ground. It's always important to keep track of the grassroots that we send out to folks. And if we say, hey, we really need you to reach out to your member of Congress on this issue, that's huge. And so being able to reach out and do that, otherwise it's just keeping those contacts with the members of Congress and their, you know, congressional offices in the state at the federal level, making sure that they know you, are happy to talk to you. If you invite them out to a pharmacy, they're probably going to want to be able to try and figure out how to put that into their schedule sometime in the next couple of months. And if you make sure that you do that every so often, once a year or so, it brings them to remember, like, this is who they're supposed to be representing, and these are issues that are important. And right now, as they can see, it's a really easy win to support independent pharmacies. It's a huge thing that we've been able to get so much bipartisan movement on. And so as long as we can keep that momentum going, once we get towards those, you know, January 19th, February 2nd packages where our bills might be included, that might be when we push a little bit harder and be like, hey, reach out and really let them know that you like this provision in this package. And so just kind of keeping an eye on any news that we put out, reaching out to folks, being like, this is going to be important.
Right.
So they know why they should be voting for these bills.
Well, Katie and Adam, it's very exciting. I know you guys are working really hard. Keep it up. And for those of you listening, keep up with updates on social media. Follow us at Com Pharmacy. Get lots of information. Go to our website and register for the newsletter to QAM. We'll keep you updated. And in the meantime, thank you guys for taking the time, and thanks everybody for listening.